Welcome to the banquet of the 2022 National Federation of the Blind of Illinois. We have had a wonderful convention so far, and we have lots in store for you tonight at this banquet. We have a full program, and we are going to go ahead and get started. I will be asking Ms. Eileen Trusky to please make your way to the podium, as she will be the one that is going to deliver our invocation. Here's, all right, here you go.
Okay.
Here you can get to the podium.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, good evening, folks.
You got to talk into it, Eileen.
Okay, I'm going to eat it. Okay. Good evening, folks. Can I have a...
Excuse me, can we have
Can we have attention, please? Contention. Let us bow our heads. Thank you, Lord, for this meal today. Thank you for everybody being here and on Zoom. We pray, we ask you, Lord, to bless us all as we go through this evening and tomorrow, and for all of us to have a safe trip home. And I'm going to say that the Catholic grace before meals, so that's... If you know it, say it with me. Bless us, O Lord, and these thy gifts, which we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. And all God's people said, Amen. Okay. Okay, thank you.
Okay. That was short but sweet. Thank you, Mayor.
All right. Thank you, Eileen. We appreciate that. The next item of business is for me to introduce the head table. So as you face the podium, so on your left and my right, we'll start there. I will be sitting right next to the podium on my right. Next to me will be the Secretary of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois and our scholarship co-chair, Deborah Kinstein. Next to Debbie will be the Executive Director of Blind Incorporated in Minnesota, Jennifer Kennedy. On my left and your right now will be the wonderful President of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, Marilyn Green. Now, she told me to say some other stuff, but I'm going to skip that. I'm going to skip over the person next to her, and I'm going to go to the person on the very end on your right. It is Soledad Vigil. And sitting just to her right in the middle is our keynote speaker and our national representative, Adelmo Vigil. You will hear more from Adelmo tonight. You already heard wonderful words from him this morning, but I think he has more in store for us tonight. I am going to ask Ellen Bartelt, who is the Illinois Association of Blind Students President, to make her way to the podium to give us information about Pi Palooza. Thank you. As you're making your way, Ellen, I believe The Door Prize co-chair has something for us.
Oh, yeah, I got something.
Oh, we got to see. What is it? What is it? We can't wait. All right.
And I got something real special from Kathy Gilmore. Glenn Guyton, my brother, Montana. They are some nuts.
And it's going to? Oh, she got more stuff. All right, you guys want to listen up? There's $50 on the table. All right. Come on, Madam Door Prize Co-Chair. I thought you had this. Leslie Hamrick. I believe, do we have her? She is here, so your door prize will be to you shortly. So I will now turn it over to Ms. Bartelt to talk about Piepalooza. Oh, we got,
hello?
I think there's a substitution. Is that right?
Yes. It's Sarah Luna here.
Oh, who's getting a pie later on tonight?
So,
I can't wait.
Y'all, I would like to thank all of you on behalf of the IABS board for your oh-so-thorough generosity. And I am so happy to announce that we have made our goals and we have raised $1,030. And now, for the fun news, who is going to throw a pie at our six recipients? Shh, Madam Nabs representative, can you give me a moment, okay? So, the way this works is that our top donor has the first selection of who they get to throw a pie at. Now, our top donor is actually, astoundingly, IAB's president, Ellen Bartelt, who donated $150. Ellen, do you want to throw a pie, or do you want to just have us randomly select somebody on your behalf?
Okay.
She has opted for us to randomly select somebody on her behalf.
All right. We need somebody that can generate a number.
Oh, I don't have my phone.
Anybody?
Anyone have their phone on them right now?
Yeah.
Can you ask Siri to give us a random number? Did you put it?
I got them all in sequence.
Between what and what?
1 and 20.
Between 1 and 20.
Yep. Random number between 1 and 20.
What's a random number between 1 and 20?
I thought Ellen would get to choose the person first.
Mm-mm. No, because she was the top donor, so she would got first pick, but she opted to not throw.
Right.
No, I asked her if she wanted us to pick somebody at random, and that's what she said.
Yeah.
Did you get a number?
Yeah, it was three. I started letting
me. Oh, number three.
Leslie Hamrick.
All right, we have selected number three, which is Leslie Hamrick. So, Leslie, who would you like to throw a pie at? Ellen, myself, Debbie, Teresa, Elizabeth, or Adamo? Who would you like to throw a pie at?
Or Sarah Loon?
I did say that.
Oh, okay.
So Leslie has chosen Teresa. All right. Now we are going to pick a random person from the people who have donated. So can you give us another number?
Yeah, we're just going to need to do this a few more times.
Yeah, we'll just have to do that because there's like a multi-way tie for a second.
How many people are tied?
I forgot to verify which book. I think Bridget would be your second at 140.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
All right, who's number one?
Pat Olson.
All right, so we have selected Pat Olson to be the next person to get to throw a pie.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, Pat, who would you like to throw a pie at? Oh, no, Denise isn't
I'm
an option. You can choose between
Ellen.
Your choices are Ellen, myself, Debbie, Elizabeth, and Adamo.
Who was that second person?
Oh, Pat Olson has selected Debbie Stein. All right. So, our second highest donor was none other than Bridget Burke. So, Bridget, who would you like to throw a pie at? I believe your choices are Ellen, myself, Elizabeth! Wonderful! Bridget has selected Elizabeth.
Yes.
So I believe our choices left are Ellen, myself, and Adamo.
Can we get another number?
Well. Okay, so we randomly selected a number and it was Glenn, so we're going to pick a new number because he opted to pass.
Another number.
Oh no! We selected number 17, which was Dustin Cather. So Dustin, you pick somebody, Dustin. Oh, Dustin! Dustin has selected yours truly to throw a pie at. So we have Ellen and Adamo left. So do we have a clear third or no?
There's not a single clear third.
Okay, can we have another number, Jennifer?
Well, Dustin bought that for
14.
They're going to pull you. Delete.
All right. Our next randomly selected person is Dilip Shah. Are you here, Dilip? Dilip? Dilip Shah? Adamo or Ellen, you can select. Pick who you want to throw a pie at. Ellen or Adamo, both great choices.
The table is swaying.
Ellen!
Oh, Dilip has selected Ellen to throw a pie at. Now, we have one more person to select to throw a pie at Adamo. So, can we get another number?
10.
Crystal Smith.
Who?
Crystal Smith.
Hang on. Yes?
Uh
huh.
Oh, so Bridget has offered to give another $100 for Adamo to not receive a pie to the face.
Yeah.
How does I don't feel like I can have the authority to make that decision. That sounds like a convention floor decision to me, y'all. So, okay, so we're going to have a voice vote. All those in favor of accepting the $100 so Adamo does not receive a pie, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oh. All right.
He voted against it.
Oh. Congratulations. Congratulations, sir. It appears you are not receiving a pie to the face. Thank you. Thank you all for donating once again. The student board very much appreciates all your generosity. Stay tuned for after the banquet when we will be doing the pieings. Thank you.
Yes?
Oh, you done?
Yes.
Okay. Well, one thing we can say about our student division, they do know how to have fun when raising money.
It's in the right corner.
So, as you all know, this affiliate is well known for, can I have your attention, please? Your attention, please. As you all know, this affiliate is very engaged in making sure that our young people can live the lives that they want, and we all devote a lot of our energy and attention to making sure that happens. So our next item of business is the future of our youth and education programs. And to talk about that is Deborah Kent Stein, who is the Secretary of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois.
Back in, back in 2008, the National Federation of the Blind started a program which we called Freedom Link. And the program met once a month, and it consisted of blind mentors and blind students getting together in downtown Chicago and going off and having adventures. And we did all kinds of things over the years, and I'm telling you, for 15 years, every Saturday throughout the year, every fourth Saturday throughout the year, we would ride subways and trains and buses. We went to museums. We went to the beach. We took the cruise out on the Great Lakes, the architectural cruise. We did judo. We did all sorts of adventures along the way that involved shopping and going to fast food restaurants and the kids carrying their own trays. It was really quite an exciting program. Sometimes having a few adventures that make my hair stand on end, and I think about it in retrospect. But we got I'm hearing about it. I'm not the only one. So we did this for many years up until the pandemic, and then we kind of kept it going with virtual, Zoom meetings and trying to keep the kids engaged and having conversations, but it wasn't the same. And now that we've emerged from the pandemic, we are trying to rethink a program that will meet the needs of today's kids and prepare them for leadership in the years ahead. So we have thought about a lot of possible ideas, and including having kids get together for maybe weekend events on a basis of, every few months, a couple times a year, and really doing some intensive work on the weekend, on these weekends, with cooking, with travel, with discussions. But we're very open to ideas at this point. This program is very much in the planning stages, and we want to hear from everybody here and from people who are not here about what they would like to see, what they could imagine, if you can just let your imagination run, what sort of program would help prepare blind youth for the days ahead. So if you have any thoughts, any ideas, do's and don'ts, please feel free to contact me. My contact information is on the website, and I look forward to hearing from you, and we will be keeping you posted as this program develops. Thank you.
So before dinner is served, we have a surprise for you. And I am going to call Jennifer Kennedy to the microphone to tell us about the surprise.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. We know how important opportunities are for our youth. When I was speaking with the School for the Blind superintendent in the state of Minnesota, he said by far and wide, the youngest of our children are the ones who've been most heavily affected. Everything from their ability to get along, look outside themselves, and work together has been affected because of 2 years of isolation. As part of the Department of Health's COVID outreach, Blindness Learning New Dimensions has been in a partnership for the next 24 months, we're in about month six now, to help bring about opportunities for blind youth of that 9 to 13 year old, to be able to give them those social engagements, those opportunities for hands-on learning, teamwork, free of charge. Last year we hosted our buddy program for 2 weeks in August, and we had seven students, five states represented. We could have a max of 20, and I would love for at least two of them to come from the state of Illinois. So please, this summer, as you're talking to your TBIs, this is a tremendous opportunity that we've been given, and I'm so very, very excited to share it with all of you. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer. We appreciate you thinking of our affiliate, and we will definitely be on the lookout for some children in Illinois who could benefit from the Buddy program. The next item of business is actually food. Let's see, I guess dinner will be served, and I will be coming back to you at about 8:05 with the rest of our program. Good evening again, everybody. You all should continue to enjoy your meal. I hope you are finding it to your liking. We are going to now go on with the next item in our programming. And here to talk about it and tell you what it's all about is our immediate past president, Patty Chang. And also I have Kathy Randall on the agenda as well. So Patty, you can start, and I guess Kathy will make her way.
Hello. You know, I used to be on this mic all the time. I'm not quite used to it now. I have thought and thought about what to say, and frankly, I haven't come up with anything that's ideal. But I want to talk to you about a couple that are very important to our affiliate, very special to Francisco and I in particular. And I know with awards, we don't usually give away who it is till the end, so I guess I'll try and do that. This person has been a member in at least two states that I know of. This person has held so many different hats in our affiliate that I can't count them, but has been chapter president of two different chapters. Is really, really passionate, very, very passionate, to the point where sometimes I get a call that says, just talk me down. I just have to vent. And this person's spouse, a lot like mine, is sometimes quiet and in the background, but incredibly instrumental to what we do. So I wish, I'm gonna give away who it is and then I'm gonna tell you a little story. So when I first had deep contact with this individual and his spouse, he called me the day after I became state president. And now he knows who he is, so come on up. And if your lovely bride is with you, bring her, please. So he called me, and we had an hour-long conversation, and the first conversation was to tell me how bad a job I'd done as state president. Interestingly enough, I asked him to give me a chance. He didn't like what I'd done. And I said, look, just let's work together and see what happens. He was open-minded enough that we have become very, very close friends. So, David and Teresa, are you making your way up? Yeah. Where's the plaque? We have the plaque? You have the plaque?
Yep, it's right here.
I hope somebody has the plaque.
Yep, it's right here.
Okay. And here's another funny story. So Dave called me a couple days ago, and he said, I don't know exactly how to put it, but it went something like, I don't understand what's going on, but Marilyn wants Teresa here. And I said, I don't have any idea why. I don't know why she'd do that. You have to talk to Marilyn. And it's all I can do, Dave, to keep a straight face and say that I wanted to tell you that we want your lovely bride here because she's instrumental in everything you do. And we love you very, very much. So, are you surprised, truly?
Yeah.
It didn't give it away when we wanted you to be here?
No, not really.
Teresa was going to originally be here virtually, and we persuaded her to be here. Yeah, I'm surprised I had it happen. So the award that they're getting is the Gwendolyn Williams Award, which is not often given. We don't give it every year. You want to read it? Yeah, Kathy, here.
I thought I was
please.
Reading it.
I guess I'm not on the script.
Am I wrong?
Go ahead. You do it.
Let's see. I need a podium.
All right, good.
Okay.
There.
All right. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, you've got
your
podium.
Make sure you have the mic.
Mic. Okay.
You're good.
Hey, you've got Braille notes. I've got Braille notes. Let's see. Who is to my left here?
That's me.
Adam, would you hold that card and give it back to me, please, in a minute?
Okay.
That's not up yet. Okay, Patty? Okay. Well, I was, I think, asked to read this, unless I'm wrong.
You're right.
National Federation of the Blind of Illinois presents the Gwendolyn S. Williams Service Award to, and you're all supposed to be surprised right now, David and Teresa Meyer!
Yay! Woo!
Yay! Thanks for your love, attention, and mentorship. You have shown the blind of Illinois how to live the lives we want. Award presented at the annual banquet of the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois this, I can't believe it, October 29th, 2022. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not sure I know what to say. Usually I'm not. I don't know whether to laugh or cry. Yeah, probably. It's what a surprise. There are many people in this room who I'm sure are as deserving as I am, and I'm so glad that my wife Teresa has been recognized. She came to me when I was at a very low point in my life. We sort of fell together, neither one of us expecting to have a relationship. I have a lot of people to thank for this. People who put up with me, with my raving, my ranting, my emotional outbursts from time to time. And encouraged me, and this encouragement was done by a lot of people, but it really started with Teresa, where she encouraged me to be the best I could be at whatever I chose to be. I don't think either one of us really realized that I was going to become as much a part of the Federation as I did. I first joined in 1971 in Minnesota. I probably really found it in 2006 when I was ready to leave. Thank you all for your support. I thank you all for allowing me to grow, allowing me to make my mistakes, and Patty, I have to thank you also for accepting me where I was. The fact that you emailed me minutes after I sent you what I thought to be a courtesy email probably kept me in this organization. And that's when I feel I really got to know you. But thank you, everybody. And now let me introduce the real speaker in this family.
Okay, I'm Teresa Meyer.
No.
The other half.
The best half.
The rebellious. Right. I'm just as rebellious as he is. So that's why we're such a good couple. Everyone, thank you for this nice surprise. I don't know what to say except thank you. And we appreciate your thoughtfulness and for thinking of us. And may you all continue to be who you are. And be true to yourself. I always tell that to everybody, be true to yourself. And be the best as you can be. And continue on your goodness in life. Because you will be rewarded. Thank you.
You know, I just want to share just a couple of things. Dave and I, when I came to the affiliate, it was really Dave who let me know that he trusted me and he appreciated the work that I did in the affiliate. And he actually sort of gave me my start when he asked me to be the first vice president of the Chicago chapter way back in 2008. And ever since then, we were called to maybe talk for 10 minutes, and we would end up talking 3 hours because we were complaining about this, that, or the third. And then when he, Dave and I are sports fans. So when I became president, oftentimes I would call him and ask him if he could help me do a particular thing. And so I would refer to Dave as my cleanup hitter, the baseball analogy, because that he was. He just does so many things, and he does them well, and he cares so much. And Teresa, I felt her love and warmth. One time I went to the Myers home because we were going out to a fundraiser. So I came back to their house, and they dropped me off at the Blue Line. And Teresa said to me, call me when you get home. Now, you know, and Dave said, it's not because you're blind. She does that to everybody that she cares about. So I just want to say that I am so happy that Marilyn has given you all this award. You all mean so much to us. And so I hope this the award symbolizes it. So, our next agenda item, and I know this person loves doing this. She loves to raise. Oh, wait. Wait a minute. Madam President, she's saying something about there's another award or something?
Yeah, y'all forgot about this one.
I don't know who she's talking about, but okay.
Well, the people who were awarding it then forgot about it.
Do you need a microphone? Or are Patty and Kathy, are you guys coming back for?
You all forgot?
Y'all forgot, I guess.
Yo. That was supposed to be the last one.
Okay.
No, she's got this one.
Oh, okay.
Oh my goodness. You all forgot about.
No.
You didn't forget?
No, but we didn't know we were to stay.
We're supposed to do one.
Right.
Hey, Patty, do you have your notes on Naperville?
Right, you see? Yeah, you were supposed to do that one.
Well, Patty, do you want to?
That's why I'm sitting here like,
I can't read you.
I thought maybe the two of you discussed something afterwards.
No.
So I didn't want to interrupt the flow of things.
Maybe somehow I got told the wrong one.
Because I figured.
I was Patty.
Dave,
and you were supposed to do Naperville.
No.
Yes.
But okay.
I don't know.
There you go. As long as it gets done. That's the most important thing.
Oh, my notes.
Okay. All right.
What's going on?
Okay. The one time that I'm really glad our donors are not in the room. Really glad. Because Kathy and I apparently had a little miscommunication here. So the next award is one that goes to a club that has been at every banquet but this one for years and sat with our Bell students. And you know, all snafus aside, this club has supported us for the tune of $10,000 a year, except during COVID, and they found a way to give us $7,500 a year, even during COVID, when they could not fundraise.
We love them.
So you've heard the name before when we talked about Bell, but the Naperville Noon Lions Club, they were originally going to have a couple people here, and they couldn't come. But this club has embraced us for years. And we could not have run our Chicago Bell program without them. So the next award goes to the Naperville Noon Lions Club. There's no one in the audience right now, but we can clap for them anyway. Yay! Yay!
And we love them so much.
We do. And this is actually an interesting story. You know, Kathy comes up with these fundraising ideas, and we said, let's do Lions clubs in the Naperville area because we were doing a convention at this hotel. And we contacted them thinking, okay, maybe they'll do, you know, a typical sponsorship or something might be $400 or $500, and all of a sudden we got a $10,000 check from them. And they've been sitting with our Bell kids and supporting us ever since. So Kathy, you want to read this one?
I don't.
Where's the plaque?
Right here.
Okay.
Can you?
Yes, me? You? Okay.
So
me too. So I probably won't do very well. But my braille is not what it should be. But the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois, Bell Ringers Award, presents the Bell Ringers Award. And we go, wait a minute. Presented, what is this? Presented with, I'm not good at. Okay. Presented with sincere appreciation. Sorry, bear with me.
You got it, Maddie.
Sincere appreciation and respect to the Naperville Noon Lions Club for supporting Braille enrichment and literacy efforts we need the dates. Yeah, I know. Your generosity helps us live the lives we want. Presented this 29th day of October 2022. I think that's it. I have to admit, I think that's the first time I've ever read in public Braille without pre-reading it.
You guys done with this one? Okay.
All right. As I was saying, before it was discovered that we had forgotten something, I now turn to a woman who loves to raise money for this organization. And so she's up here. It's called 15 for Funds. And I bring you our beloved Kathy Randall.
Before I get to 15 for Funds, you guys, it's so good to be back. And you, can you hear me? I haven't found the mic to know kind of where it is. 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock. You hear me okay? Okay. Before I start on 15 for Funds, what do I always say? Put the NFB of Illinois in your wills. Please, please, please. Okay? A bunch of us have done it. I'm wearing people down. I'm getting them to do it. It's going to make a huge difference someday for our affiliate if a lot of us will put the NFB of Illinois in our wills. Please, please do it. 15 for Funds was started by Dr. Kenneth Jernigan, my national mentor, the second president of the NFB of Illinois. Second president of the NFB on the national level. And I thank all of you who've given to 15 for Funds. I don't know how many years this has been going on. I've forgotten if I ever knew. A lot. Maybe 15, 20, I don't know. A long time.
Michael?
Yes, okay, am I coming through? Yeah. So
Michael's going to take over a bit here, and then I'll take over again.
Would that help?
I think I'll be okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Kathy. I will go through what we collected so far. So basically, to give a little bit more background, before the pandemic, we've been raising all our money through 15 for Funds during this 15-minute campaign. However, once we started with the pandemic and started allowing people to pay dues and make other payments during the registration process, we decided to give them the option to also make their contributions in advance. So we started doing that, and that's been working out well. So now we have some contributions that come in before the convention even starts, and the rest comes in during 15 for Funds. So I will read off the names of the people who have contributed so far, and then I will read off the total that we have so far. I will not announce the individual amounts. I will just announce the names of the donors and then the total. So we got, let me see here, 1 second. So we got the Chicago chapter. We got Denise Avant, Patty and Francisco Chang, at large chapter. Is my jaws coming through the mic, by the way, or not?
Yes, you sound great.
Oh, sorry. Kathy Randall. Bill and Roberta Reef. Robert Widman. Michael Novitsky. David and Teresa Meyer. Steve Hastellis, Pam Gilmore, Glenn Moore, Iabs, Leslie Hamrick, and we have an anonymous donor also. Let's see. We've got a total of $4,875 that we've raised so far. But we need a lot more. We need a lot more, especially because not only that we're now back to in-person programming with all our programs, but we now also have to juggle. So one of our most expensive programs is Bell, because we have Chicago Bell, and we also have our Springfield Bell program. But our national organization also kept Bell in-home edition. So we've been contributing to support that. This year, for example, we gave $10,000 to Bell in Home Edition, so we need the money. And with that, I will turn things back over to Kathy Randall.
Thank you, Michael. Michael does such a good job. I don't know if we need me up here anymore or not. But I'll take additional donations. Anything that you want to give, please say who you are and what you would like to give, and Michael will keep track of pledges and or gifts of money or checks or whatever. Please?
This is Elizabeth Rouse. When I was here in 19, David Meyer ran this so well. He talked me out of $20. So in
Thank you, Elizabeth. Yes, I was at my 50th college reunion, could not be here that night.
And I do have it in my pocket.
Whoa. Go after this lady's pocket, somebody. Thank you, Elizabeth.
All I have in my pocket.
Yay, thank you. Thank you.
What was that?
$20 from Elizabeth's pocket.
Yes.
Other donations. Other donations. $500 from Dick and Debbie Stein. Yay! Thank you, Deb. Okay. Other donations. Thank you, Debbie. Yes. Pardon me. Oh, okay. $20 from Elizabeth Rouse. Rouse?
Correct.
And $500 from Debbie and Dick Stein. Thanks, Patty. Okay, other donations? $500? $450? $400 donations? $350? $300. I hope we get some more givers here. $250.
Marilyn Green,
$250. Yay, Madam President. Marilyn Green, $250. Thank you, Marilyn, very much.
It's a pledge.
It's a pledge. Okay, Michael. Okay, thank you. $250 from our State President, Marilyn Green. Yay, pledge. Any other $250 pledges or donations? $150.
Mary Grunwald, $150 pledge.
Thank you, Mary. Yay, thank you, Mary. Any other $150 donations or pledges? $100.
Juliet Walker
pledges $100. Juliet, thank you. Any other $100 pledges or donations?
Crystal
Smith donating $100.
My coworker, y'all.
Whoa! Thank you so much. Any other $100 donations? Pat Olson. Pat Olson, pledge of $100, Pat? $100 pledge from Pat Olson. Thanks, Pat. Thank you so much. Any other $100 donations or pledges?
Marco Giannotti.
Marco. Marco?
Pledge.
Pledge of $100, Marco?
Yes.
Yes, $100 from Marco. Pledge. Marco, thank you so much. Wow, he's got a deep voice, guys.
Whoa. Any other $100 donations or pledges? I can't.
$100 from
the Catacleese
family. Thank you very much. Oh, thank you very, very much. Okay.
Pledge or contribution?
Any other $100 donations or pledges? I'm sorry, sir, I didn't hear your name. Murphy Condor, thank you very much. $100. Is it a pledge or donation?
Is it a donation?
Or a pledge?
Pledge,
thank you. It's hard to hear up here, believe it or not. Any other $100 donations or pledges, folks?
$75?
Jennifer Kennedy, $75 pledge. Did I hear that right? Donation. Sorry, Jennifer. Thank you, Jennifer, very much. Any other $75 pledges or donations? $75. Going, $50. Thank you. Wow. Is that a pledge or a donation?
Donation,
sir. $50. Thank you. And I'm sorry, your name again, please? Oh, it's Athir. Athir. Athir, I didn't get your... I never hear your last name, see, Athir class. Thank you, Athir. Thank you so much. Any other $75 pledges or donations? $50? $50. Any $50 donations or pledges? Oh, Eileen. Thank you, Eileen. $61 in honor and memory of Eileen's brother. Is that a donation or?
Donation
in Eileen's brother's honor. Thank you. And your brother's name? I'm sorry. Oh, Kent. Sorry. It's hard to hear up here.
It's
yeah. Okay, any other, am I down to 50, guys? Any other $50 donations or pledges? Any other donations of 50? 25, $25? Any other pledges or donations of $25?
And a price.
And a price. Yay! $25 pledge or donation? Donation. Thank you.
I got the cash.
Yay, she's got the cash. We love cash around here. Thank you very much. Any other pledges or donations of $25 from anybody? Okay, guys, I think I've tried to do my job. Hope. Thank you.
Wait.
Can't let my NAV board member donate without me donating,
girl.
Oh, that's Elizabeth's
$20. Whoa! Sarah, thanks, Sarah. Sarah Luna, $25? $20, thank you. Okay, guys. Thank you so much, everybody. Michael, do we have a total?
One second.
He's working.
We will in a minute. Hey, one more.
He will. Yeah. Okay. Mistress Assembly.
So we got a $6,626.
Well, once again, thank all of you all who donated. Give yourselves a hand. Door prize. She has a Halloween bag. Be careful. Madam Door Prez?
Ina Trevino?
Not here.
Okay.
Draw again.
We'll draw again.
Yeah. Now, is there, Madam Co-Chair of the door prize? Is there another one? Okay, so you do have another one.
There can be.
Oh, okay. So go ahead and draw. Okay. Yes. Oh, what is the prize? Because she didn't say. I thought I heard her shaking stuff up and down. Madam, are you there?
She wasn't ready for you, Denise.
Do you need to, this is a little hard. I know. I thought you.
Katrina Tease?
Katrina Tease?
Yeah.
Is she here?
Yeah, she's
here. Y'all right. She's here. All right. We come now to a very important moment in our agenda. And I will say that it has been my privilege to serve on our national board. And I have had an opportunity to meet this gentleman. Before that, I didn't know him, but we oftentimes come to board meetings and conventions together. And I've at least had a chance to get to know him and his lovely wife. I will bring you now Adelmo Vigil to bring you our banquet address for this evening.
I gotta raise the mic up a little bit. I'm not saying she's short, okay? We can live the life we want. As a small child, I was born in close to Colorado, northern New Mexico, in a small community. There were six family members already, four sisters and two brothers. And so before I was born, my biological mother was saying that if she could find someone to take this young child or baby, she would give the baby away. And so she talked to my uncle and his wife, and they agreed because they had had a child, a little girl, and she died at 3 months. And they could have no more kids. They decided they would adopt me. At 7 days old, they took me home. That was the beginning of my experience and my blessings. Because after being around my biological family, well, let me tell you this, they had six more after me. So I was the middle child of 13. There were two other blind brothers and one blind sister. I had three uncles, one aunt who was blind. My adoptive parents, which I will refer to as my parents now, they were no strangers to blindness. And when my mother decided that, you know, I was struggling at the age of five, she knew that I was having issues with my sight. I couldn't see at night. So she took me to the eye doctor, and of course they found out that I had RP, which is pretty young for RP. And so she, you know, I got to wear glasses. Well, I thought I could see. The glasses kind of tricked me because they did magnify some things in front of me, but in reality, I couldn't see very much. As I continued to grow, my parents knew that my sight was not going to be good, and they continued to try to find help. But at the public schools where I was, there was no help for a blind child. There was no opportunity there. During the time that I was in public schools, I was given a book to read. I couldn't read it. I sat in class and kind of listened to the rest of the kids read. And that's how I did my learning for many years. I remember one time coming home from school, getting off the bus, and running to the house. It was about maybe 500 yards or so from the road to the house. And I'm running down toward the house, and all of a sudden, the house got in my way. I hit the wall. I hit the house, bounced back. My glasses went flying one direction, my books another. My mother comes out from inside, and she goes, "What happened?" I said, "Mom, the house got in my way." It was the house's fault. It wasn't mine, you know? It should have moved. But the thing was, after that, my mother decided that, well, I don't know if it was because she was afraid I was going to crack my head open or we were going to have to buy new glasses every time I ran into the house. So she'd come out and she'd stand by the door every time I was running and she'd start yelling at me, "Slow down, slow down, stop." And I would, you know. That was part of my experience. But one thing I can tell you that my mom, my parents, both mom and dad, they did not feel sorry for me because I was blind. There were times I wish they had, but they didn't. I had the opportunity to go out and work in the farm. I had the opportunity to ride horses. I had the opportunity to chase goats up in the mountains without a cane. I had an opportunity to go up in the mountains and take care of sheep with my dad. All those things. Chop wood, stack hay, all those things. And Dad expected me to do my share. My biological parents were pretty protective with their kids. And so when my mom and dad decided they were going to send me to the school for the blind at the age of 13, They were highly criticized by my biological parents. They were told, well, just because it's not yours, you don't care. Just because, you know, we gave him to you so you could take care of him, and you're sending him somewhere so somebody else can take care of him. This was reality. I remember my dad telling me about that. They were on a trip, and my dad finally turned to her, and he says, you know, you don't know the pain that we're going through. You don't know how hard it is for us to do that, but we know that that is the right thing to do. And so I went to the School for the Blind. There at the School for the Blind, things changed a little bit. I got to get large print books, which I couldn't see either. But for 2 years at the School for the Blind, they kept telling me, you can read the print, use your sight. They kept telling me, keep trying, wear your glasses. And I remember, I'll never forget the day that I went to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor told me in her office, he said, you know, you need to start learning to read Braille because your vision is getting worse. I said, you know, that's a good idea. I was 15 years old, going on 16. And on the way back to the school, the nurse at the School for the Blind tells me, I have some bad news for you. And I said, what's that? She says, you're going to have to learn Braille. And I turned to her and I said, that's the best news I've heard. I might learn to read. I might learn to read because to that point, I considered myself illiterate. I had never learned to read. I had never learned to do anything because I couldn't see. Yes, I did all the things at home, but as far as educational-wise, I couldn't. I started to learn Braille, and then at the age of 17, they finally decided that I needed a cane travel. And, you know, that was after having many accidents and running into poles and remembering that at the School for the Blind, I couldn't go anywhere because they were considering me blind, but yet they expected me to read. So anytime I went with somebody to town, it had to be someone who had more sight than I, which is very common. And we would be walking down the sidewalk, and I'd be, you know, going side a guide with him, and I'd run into a pole, and he'd turn to me and say, watch the pole. Well, it was a little late. I had already found it. I used to get so frustrated with him, I'd get angry. But when I started using the cane, and for a while, like many of us, I was a cane carrier. I loved that folding cane. Because
it folded up.
I could put it in my pocket, and nobody knew I was blind. So I was walking down the street there in Alamogordo one time, and to my surprise, they had been doing some construction work. My cane was in my pocket. I'm minding my own business, and all of a sudden, I'm in a ditch. And somebody said, well, that's a city's problem. They should have had some barriers. Well, they should have, but I probably would have gone right through those barriers because I was moving pretty fast. You know, I wasn't afraid. Then finally, when they decided that I should start using the cane, I got one that was very short, like everybody else. And that's a cane that I used while I was going to college in campuses up there that were stairs and drop-offs and everything else, but I survived. But my posture was horrible. Can I have some water? So, well, I'm choking for something. My posture was horrible. I couldn't really straighten up because I was reaching forward. I was reaching out, bending forward to be able to cover more material, more space. And so I went to El Paso, and my teacher went with me. He gave me a bus travel route. Well, I was at the school, believe it or not. He said, "We're going to go on, and I'm taking you to El Paso. I'm going to drop you off, and I'm going to meet you in a certain place." And I said, "Okay." And when we left El Paso, he said to me, he says, "You know, I'm not too worried about you as far as mobility. You'll survive." And I thought to myself, "Thank God, you know, I can, you know, I will survive." But it was, again, because my parents had always had that expectation of me that I knew that I had to do the best that I could, even though sometimes it was limited because of the lack of my education. Well, moving forward, I decided that, while I was going to school, I started working with kids, and I mentioned this morning, and I found that that was something that I enjoyed doing. I wanted to go to school. I wanted to learn to work with children. And we had a dorm parent there, a sighted dorm parent, who I'll never forget. She said to me, she goes, "Adelmo, if you want to do something for yourself, if you want to do something for anybody else, kids or adults, you get yourself to college." And I thought to myself, and I thought about that. Here was a totally sighted person, but she believed in me. She believed that I could do it more than I did, because remember, I still was struggling with reading. And so she took me, you know, I mean, she said, go, you need to go to get some services. So I did, and I went to the commission for the, well, services for the blind, and got enrolled in college, went to Western, and started taking my classes there. And that is where I met my sweetheart, Soledad, 47 years ago. Well, actually 48 when we met, or 49, something like that. We've been married for 47. And one of the things, as we were getting to know each other, I had always been, I was growing up, I always thought, nobody's going to want to marry me. I'm blind. Because my uncles, they had a rough time. One uncle had never been married. The other one got married in probably 40s. Another one did get married younger. And they had about 10 kids, too. But the thing was, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to leave the little community of Amalia. Well, when we met in Silver City, I asked my wife, I said, before she was my wife, I said, "Would you marry a blind person?" Her response, when she says, "If I love the person, I will." And that was my green light. I knew then that she was going to be, you know, that we were going to probably get married. The thing was, it wasn't for her to take care of me. It was for us to be able to work together and support each other and take care of each other. So, you know, we graduated from college, and most of you heard my story this morning about the battles and what happened as I was trying to get to school, I mean, to get a job. Well, we moved to Shiprock, about 400 miles away from her family and at least another 250 from mine. And we were out there in Shiprock by ourselves. no transportation, no buses, no public transportation. It was just us. I went ahead and walked to classes, I mean, from the school, and, you know, I did what needed to be done. But I'm still using that short cane. And I remember finding a gate halfway open and hitting that with my chest. And it was painful. And again, I kept getting mad at the objects or blaming the objects because they were there. And it was later when we attended the National Federation of the Blind convention in Phoenix, Arizona in 1984. We were there, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I said, let's go over here to the market. I want to buy a cane. Yeah. And so we went there, and they said, what size cane do you need? And I showed them my cane, and they said, oh, my goodness. you need a longer cane. Yep. And I said, well, yeah, but I don't know if I can handle it. They said, oh, yeah, you'll be able to handle it. I got a straight cane. It was 61 inches long. The one I had had was probably 57, 58 inches. And I took that cane, and I told my wife, I said, you know, this is weird. I feel like I'm using a flagpole in front of me or something. It just seems so long. It just seems so strange to have that cane there. But I got used to that, and I found that I was able to travel a lot better, that I was able to not be running into the houses. The houses didn't get in my way anymore. The gates didn't hit me, you know, because my cane was finding them. And right around 1983, Joe Cordova, I don't know if any of you know Joe Cordova from New Mexico, he invited me to a state convention, and he said, you know, we want you to come and talk to us about your experience in teaching. And I told my wife, I said, we'll go. But I said, as soon as that convention is over, we're going back home, and we're going to stay away from NFB. Because, again, I had heard all the things that everybody else had heard about NFB. And we went there. It was a wonderful experience. It was a very small group. And we went back home. That week, Joe calls me and says, Adelmo, we'd like for you to start a chapter in the Shiprock area. And I'm going, what? I don't know nothing about NFB. He says, we'll teach you. And so I said, well, let me talk to Soli, my wife. And one thing I can tell you, she never backs off from a challenge. And so when I told her, and she says, well, I think we could do it. I said, okay, let's do it. And we created the chapter in Farmington in the Shiprock area and worked there. I was the president, my wife was the secretary, and a couple of other people, and that's how we started to get involved. The thing about the affiliate in New Mexico and Joe Cordova was that fact that while he was president, he kept calling on me to do things. He kept me busy. Even when I thought I shouldn't be involved or I couldn't do that, he would say, come on, Adelmo, you can do this. And I remember when he called me and said, we'd like for you to apply to be on the Board of Regents of the School for the Blind. And remember, I had been a student there. And I said, Joe, I can't do that. And he says, why not? And I said, I've never done that before. And he said, that's right. But there's always a first time. And so I applied through the governor's office, and I was appointed to the board. I was appointed and served on the Board of Regents for 6 years. Now, during that time, I don't know if any of you, probably none of you remember NAC. Oh, yeah, I knew you would. NAC. The school was accredited by NAC. And we were fighting the school to drop NAC. And there was another parent and another person that believed in us, and so three of us voted to get rid of NAC. And we did. And then the next year, they left, and they got somebody else got appointed in their position, and I had another 4 years of just horrible experiences because I was the only blind person on the board. And the rest of them were sighted folks, people who were involved in politics, and they believed that through that route, through that venue, they were going to educate our kids. So I fought that, and we worked on that. And, you know, it got pretty bad. I mean, the history of New Mexico, that's one thing that will be shown, that we fought to get rid of NAC and to change the environment at the school for the blind. And to this day, the school is our partner at the National Federation of the Blind of New Mexico and the School for the Blind and the Commission for the Blind. We all work together. But it was a challenge. It was tough. And sometimes, I mean, in fact, it got to the point where the superintendent told another board member, he says, you know, Adelmo sure is hard to buy. We go out to eat, I get him steaks, but he always comes back to his ideas. And I said, you know what? He can buy me all the steaks he wants, but I'm not going to change because I know what our kids needed. I knew what our kids, what was best for the blind kids of New Mexico. So, you know, that went on. I continued to work with the school, and then, you know, once I was off the board, we had already moved to Alamogordo. I was the director of the orientation center there, and that's where the school is. And it was hard. But one thing I can tell you is that when I met the NFB, when I met Dr. Jernigan and the Federation family, that is when my life changed, because that's when I started getting confidence in myself. And I knew that I had the support, the encouragement, and sometimes the kick in the back of the pants and said, come on, let's go, let's do this. As I was growing up, I never thought that I would be in Chicago, Illinois, speaking to you. I thought I was going to be left back there by myself after my parents would pass away. I thought I'll be here by myself. But it was the National Federation of the Blind who has really changed my attitude, my life, my belief that, yes, I can do that. I can do it. And when the challenges come up, somebody says, well, I need you to do this. Okay, well, I'll go ahead and work at it. Might not be easy, but I do believe that I couldn't have done it without you all in this room. Patty, Denise, all of you. Because we've all supported each other. When I went to teach, I never knew that the NFB had paved the way for me to become a teacher in the public schools. Till later, I realized. And now, we have paved the way for others to do that. I want us to think about this. I want you, especially young people, when someone asks you, when our president here asks you to do something, don't say no. If you're uncomfortable doing it, say, well, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, but if you can help me, I can do it. And that's what makes a difference. Joe Cordova is a mentor to me. Joe Cordova has been one who really supported me throughout my weaker days as far as my blindness. Because, again, I had some vision. Well, I had some sight, I should say. At that point, I had no vision because I wasn't sure. But I had a little bit of sight, and that was all that mattered to me. But as time went on, I realized that the sight that I had was not doing me any good, and the National Federation of the Blind has given me a vision. I did not get that vision from college. I don't know how many of you have thought about this. Have that if you've gone to school, you've gone to college, you've gone to work, but can any of those things, all those businesses and activities that you do, give you what the National Federation of the Blind does?
No.
It's something that we get, and basically it's ours. All we have to do is get involved. All we have to do is become part of the organization, part of the movement, and believe in our cause. And yes, we've all had ups and downs. Yes, we have all thought, I don't think I can make it. But you can, as long as you have a mentor that you can call. And any time that you call a mentor, they're going to be there. We're going to be there. Elizabeth mentioned Jean Kim this morning. And this is a young man when I was in the scholarship committee that my wife and I got to mentor. I got to mentor him, and we went out to lunch, my wife and I and him, and we're sitting there, and he's asking us questions about, hey, how did you meet each other? I mean, how did you do this? How did you do that? And, you know, by the time we were done, ready to finish eating, this young man was in tears. And ever since, he always reaches out, and he says, asks me, well, this is what I'm going through. This is what's happening. And that's what it's all about. Helping each other. Being there for each other. And some of you who are brand new today to the National Federation of the Blind, don't stop here. If you walk out of this room believing that you are going to go away and nobody's going to call on you, I guarantee you that Maryland's going to call on you. We see the potential. Scholarship winners, just talking to you, just hearing you speak, you have so much potential, and you can do it. But the thing is, it doesn't come easy. Sometimes we have to struggle. Sometimes we have to suffer. Sometimes we get frustrated. It's hard. But when we find our purpose, when we can define who we are, and that life is there for us. I mentioned being adopted. My brothers and sisters never got the opportunity that I had. They never got to go to school. They never went to college. My sister was self-educated when she was in California, pretty much, but not because she was sent to school. My adoptive parents did. And before they passed on, that was one of the things that I told them. I want to thank you for what you have done, because you did not let me down. You encouraged me. You helped me. My parents were just like you all. Strong family, strong beliefs. And I just want to encourage all of us to continue moving forward. It is an honor for me to be able to stand here and believe that with love, hope, and determination, we can transform dreams into reality. And all of us have dreams. Let's transform those into the reality that they should be. Let's go build the National Federation of the Blind. Thank you.
Madam Door Prize Chair.
You don't have to ask what. I have, for that speech that I was going to make you cry, $100 from the extremely talented and professional Debbie Stein.
Woo! Well, that we think she's in the room. Does anyone know where the Pie Palooza is going to take place after our banquet? Yeah, where's? Oh, okay, because that's the last, yeah. I thought maybe it'd been switched. Patty, are you sure it's not supposed to be in this room?
No, I'm not sure.
Okay, well, we'll be back to you with further notice. Meanwhile, it is time for another highlight of this convention, and that's the the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois Scholarships. And to present those is once again Deborah Kent Stein.
Would our three scholarship finalists please come up to the stage? Abu El-Faki and Vance Herder and Rachel Newland, please come up here. And while they're making their way up to the stage, I will again thank the members of the 2022 NFBI Scholarship Committee, and I'll read to you what the scholarship certificates say, and each of our finalists, soon to be winners, will receive one of these certificates created in the beautiful calligraphy of Francisco Chang, who learned handwriting not in the United States and therefore has extremely good handwriting. Okay, at any rate, the certificates, each one says, in recognition of outstanding academic leadership abilities, the National Federation of the Blind of Illinois presents name with the name of scholarship award this 29th day of October 2022, and each of these scholarships is in the amount of $5,000. So, everybody up here.
up here? Yes, you were all here. Okay, okay. I'll wait.
I'll give her a moment.
Okay, Abu and Vance and Rachel, everybody here? Okay. All right, good.
Okay. So first scholarship that I'm going to present will go to Abu El Faki, and it is the Francis Allen Memorial Scholarship. Each of our scholarships are named for somebody distinguished in the organization. So... Francis Allen was one of the founding members of the Chicago chapter of the National Federation of the Blind. She was an African-American woman, very distinguished, very, very solid and patient and highly intelligent and a longstanding supporting member of the organization. So... someone to be admired. And our next award, this is a scholarship in the name of Abraham Namath. And Abraham Namath was a mathematician. He taught for many years at Wayne State University in the mathematics department. And he also created the Nemeth Code, which is the code that's been used for the past 50 years or more for Braille mathematics. And that award will go to Vance Herter. And finally, our Peter Grunewald Memorial Award goes to Rachel Newland. And Peter Grunewald, who was the husband of our Mary Grunewald, our door prize lady, he was very active in terms of legislation, and one of his crowning achievements was he made it possible for blind people to serve on juries in the state of Illinois. Yay. So congratulations to all three of you, and we hope that we will stay, that you will stay with us, and that we will see much more of you in the years to come. Good luck in all of your endeavors. Thank you.
Hey, Patty, are you back yet?
I am.
Okay.
I have an answer.
All right.
15 minutes after banquet, we will be in this room.
Okay.
So people can go change. We'll set up the tarps. The Piepalooza will be 15 minutes after banquet in this room.
So she was a little ways away from the microphone, but 15 minutes after the banquet is over, so you might want to clear the room so they can put down the tarp so the people who will be receiving the pies can get them. And then you can come back in this room and the fun can begin. Right after that, or maybe perhaps even during that, we'll have a little hospitality open because there will be a bar area in the foyer where you were before this dinner started. So it's pretty much like it was for IAB's Idol, but only the bar will be out in the foyer. And we are going to ask Madam Door Prize Chair to get our final door prize of the evening ready to give to some lucky person in this room.
Okay, this is going to be $100 or
Is she here? She looks like she's here. So, after you've had all the fun that you possibly can tonight, you will be back in this room tomorrow, bright and early at 7 a.m., for the Illinois Association of Blind Students breakfast and business meeting, to be followed by our final general session of the morning. And with that, the banquet is now adjourned.